Namaskar, everybody. We're going to be talking today about India's jump in the Doing Business Report for 2018 with Vijay Chadha. It is Friday, November 3, and you're listening to Drishti Top. Hi, Vijay. Delighted to have you on the show today.
Hi, Chirag and all the Drishti folks. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you guys are.
Yeah, covering wherever you are in the world. By way of introduction, so the World Bank released its report, or what it calls the yearly Doing Business Report for 2018, breaking into the top 100 countries for doing business for the first time since the report started being published sometime in 2004. So let's do a quick overall picture. We know that they are a result of a lot of structural reform that's been happening in India for the last couple of years. But how reflective do you feel is it in terms of actual business environment in India?
I mean, we just need to go slightly back. I would like to clarify a few things. One, many people had this doubt that only two cities are ranked and the ranking may not be reflective of the entire country. But I feel personally that we should be happy that two cities are being covered at least for the past from past 3-4 years, because earlier there was only one city that used to be the reflective state. And also there are 16 different cities are ranked in the on the doing business within India itself, but I don't think they are considered for the ranking. So that's one part. Coming to your query about reflective of ground situation in India, I mean, we should also look at various places on various parameters these rankings are done, starting a company, paying taxes, etc. So, I mean, there have been an improvement at various places. Like, for example, Ministry of Corporate Affairs has a single window sort of thing to open a new company today. So, on the ground also, there has been considerable amount of activity that has gone. And folks who say that would rankings be considered for investments and all, we should also look at the amount of FDI that has come into this country for the past 3 years. And that really shows that the foreign investors are also showing the confidence by the reforms that are being undertaken by the government under Modi. So if that is the barometer, I think they have done extremely well. As I have written, or as I always keep tweeting, this is a never-ending journey, because all the countries are trying to reform their doing business rankings, the processes at the same time. So everyone is actually competing against the other to improve upon their doing business ranking so that they can get more FDI. So they're going in the right direction, and it is just the start. 100 is just the start. I think we should hopefully be in the top 50 by 2020. That's what the target is.
That's what Arun Jaitley mentioned in his speech when he was discussing the report as well. I also want to add here that out of 190 countries, I think the number is 160, 170 countries that had only two cities, you know, one to two cities in the ranking. So it's not, India was treated abnormally compared to other countries or something like that. And to your point about, you know, at the end of the day, a rank is something that's reflective of not just what you are doing as a country, but also what other people are doing. So if other people are doing well, your rank may not move up, even though your, you know, your raw score might. And vice versa, sometimes you'll see a jump in ranking even a few spots because, you know, the countries around your, you know, your ranking have dropped down due to some reason as well. That being said, a 30 rank jump is quite phenomenal, right? In fact, it is one of the highest jumps we've ever witnessed.
So the same people who are today criticizing or saying that these rankings do not matter, I just want to ask one query. Would you have spared the government if the ranking was 131 instead of 100 this time? They would have castigated the government to say that, look, World Bank also is saying so. I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Of course not. Yeah. One additional point in terms of the ranking, and this is more for our listeners, the distance to frontier score. And I think this is an interesting number, specifically because while the ranking, as we just discussed, is not just reflective of what you are doing, but also reflective of what other people are doing. Frontier score, and the frontier is that economy that would exist that performed the best in every category since 2005. So that's how it's rated. Then that economy would score 100. And compared to that, it ranks all the other economies, how close they are to that perfect improvement, right? So here as well, India saw quite a substantial improvement of about, I think, 4.7 points, so to speak, where we are ranked a little above 60, where 100 is the benchmark.
So DTF is also, I mean, just to explain, the closer you are to 100, it means that the closer you are to the international best practice. So that's what the Doing Business report actually mentions very clearly. The DTF in 2012 report, which is basically means as of June 1st, 2011, we were at 52.41. From there, we have moved all the way up to 60, which is a good jump. And we have made a considerable amount of progress on the DTF score across all the parameters on which these business rankings are actually measured. So I think this is good.
Yeah, out of the 10 indicators, we've had substantial improvements in DTF score of 7 of them, which I think is quite huge. And out of the 52 to 60 jump that you just mentioned, more than almost half of it came in the last year in terms of raw ranking. So again, just for context as well, the DTF score of China is at 65 and the DTF score of our region is 53. So, and we are at 60. So we're the higher end of our regional averages.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in our region, if we just remove India, I don't know what would be the DTF score. Think in that direction.
So I want to touch on a couple of the specific indicators. Let's start with taxes, right? DTF score in terms of paying taxes went up 18 points, which is huge. And in terms of raw ranking, we were at 172 out of 190. We jumped to 119. This is quite a huge improvement.
That's right. You also need to look at the efforts that have gone in. The caveat here is that the GST is not even considered, because the report is as of June 1st.
Yeah, this does not include the indirect tax reform at all, yeah.
Yeah. To pay taxes, the time has been reduced from 241 hours to 214 hours. They have a way of measuring it. The government of India has reduced the total number of payments to be made from 25 to 30 in a particular year. They have enabled electronic registrations and returns for ESIC, which is basically Employee State Insurance Matters and Employee Provident Fund Contribution. So all these steps taken together has really helped paying taxes to move from 172 to 119. And going forward with the GST and the changes that they're still bringing it as it's a work in progress, we should see a good rank, improvement in rank.
Correct. And in fact, already we've had some statements, you know, international publications and agencies like the World Bank already, when GST was introduced, as to how critical it was in terms of structural reform to make business easier in India. And while a lot of comments regarding GST are still comments that are reflective of the teething period, which is what we're still in, it's absolutely anticipated that the next time, you know, the ranking will be frozen, which will be June 1, 2018, we will have had almost 11 months of GST in operation.
That's right. I mean, rankings and non-rankings separate. GST is one sort of a reform where the entire country has come together as one, passed the GST reform, implemented it without. There are some teething troubles, but we should not look at it in the time frame of 1 year, 2 years. It is a generational change and it would have a very good impact over a period of 5 years. You will see the impact of GST on Indian economy, which would be a huge, huge impact.
Let's talk a little bit now about insolvency. And I bring this up because the insolvency regulations that were brought about last year were hailed as huge reform. I think a lot of people don't fully get why it's so important, because it's something that actually only kicks in when something goes wrong, right? But again, here within insolvency, we saw a ranking rise from 136 to 103. So again, touching into the 100 and the DTF score going up by 8 points.
Insolvency and bankruptcy code is very important at multiple levels, because without this insolvency board being created, without the insolvency professionals being recognized, I mean, it used to be a long process. If people remember, something called as BIFR and all those things, which used to take a lot of time. And there is a very clear cut as part of this insolvency and bankruptcy code, the clear cut timelines, the processes that needs to be followed, and how companies can be wound up, companies taken over. So these sort of things has been very important, because one of the things when ease of doing business is just not only starting the business, but it also involves, if something goes wrong, closing your business, how fast is it to close your business? So I think this is where this entire code comes into play. And it is one of the major steps that really helped. Again, as you said, we moved from 136 to 103. And going forward, if you see some active cases being undertaken under this code, I mean, it would have been implemented, it would have been used this year, and we'll see how ranking is going on this front of.
Yeah, so the insolvency board was just formulated recently. Again, one of the first action items that they did was to try and build accreditation, as you mentioned, of insolvency professionals who would then be the people responsible to handle different cases. And there's a certification process. And I think it was earlier this year, and I'll link to these things in the show notes, where the board started recognizing agencies that were then had enough certified professionals that they could then become certified insolvency companies. And so, and as you mentioned, shutting down a company and dealing with that process, and that includes everything from dealing with the creditors and making sure the assets and liabilities are taken care of or as best as possible. These are really critical things which you don't see it when the law is passed. You don't really fully understand that. And as you mentioned, we are still in the first couple of years of this board being created and the process being smoothened out. As we just mentioned, India did well in 7 out of 10 categories, so we're not going to go through each one of them. But there's one that I just wanted to raise because we broke into the top 5 countries in dealing with shareholders' rights, which I think was fascinating to me because of all the things in the world that you would think we would do really well on, it was dealing with especially minority shareholders' rights, which basically means if you're a minority shareholder in a company, we have one of the best protections in the world. I don't know, it just seemed like a real outlier to me, especially since we're in the top 5 in the world compared to everything else where we're working our way up into the hundreds.
Yeah, it was because I can just take a guess, and also as mentioned, is basically we have created a lot of transparency, particularly related to the interested party transactions, shareholder protection, and now even independent directors are also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, action can be taken and claims can be put against them. It's just not moving into the top 4. I mean, we were at 13, particularly in the protecting minority investors. So from 13, we have moved to 4. So it is, as I said, it's like a continuous movement. I mean, just to compare China on protecting minority investors, this is a very interesting thing, okay? China is at 119 on that particular fact. And New Zealand, which is overall number one, it is in the second position. So it seems that we are doing good in that area.
It's almost bizarre to see that we are in the top 5 in this one item. Okay, let's talk quickly about a couple of indicators where we didn't do so well. And Arun Jaitley also raised this when he was discussing the rankings and stuff. One of which is enforcing contract, and the other one is dealing with property. This is an interesting one because, again, this is not entirely a policy issue, right? Part of it is policy, and then part of it becomes sort of is the domain of the judiciary, right? So that's...
It's not only in judiciary. Well, registering property would not be much. It would be more at a state government level. But there is a lot of work happening even in the registering property. Now what all governments are trying to do, which is a long process, but there is a lot of digitization of land records and registration of property. Particularly, I can give an example of Karnataka where I stay. Recently, they have come out with you need not go to a particular registrar office to register your property. You can go to any place because they are all linked to it. There are steps being taken, but they have to be done at a state level. Long one. On enforcing contracts, yes, there's huge backlog cases and various levels of judicial processes that we need to go through. But even on the enforcing contracts, they have done some changes, but this impact, we need to see how the World Bank will rank them going over a period of time. The government has actually, what you call, established some dedicated commercial courts, and also for folks who really want to look at the backlog of cases in India, they should. We have recently launched, last year or this year, I'm not clear, something called as National Judicial Data Grid, like e-court, where you can see exactly what are the cases that are pending across all the courts and all in the country. There is a huge backlog of positions that also need to be filled at various levels of the judiciary. We hope that we should be at least moving to 150 next year. I mean, that's something which we can aspire for. But this is a long-term, what I call it, as steps that they need to do.
Sure. And I think, I mean, in terms of the judiciary, you mentioned various items that are being done. I think the one thing now that's pending is let's clear the backlog. You know, the judiciary's topic alone, by the way, is it's a topic for an entire episode by itself. But within the context of this conversation, definitely the appointments, which I think is getting smoothened out a little bit over the last few months, but the backlog of cases and then the influx of new ones and dealing with them is is taking a very long time. There was an order, in fact, from the Supreme Court earlier this year, and I'd written about that a little bit, where they had instructed that all lower courts, magistrate courts, district courts, and so on, had to clear any cases that were more than 5 years by December 31st. Unfortunately, we don't know how far that's reached because there are no statistics openly available about. But at least there seems to be some activity in the region. One hopes that this is something they start acting on. But naturally, when we have cases that are 5 and 10 years old in the backlog, these are not things that will clear out in a year's time. We kind of touched on this already, but let's talk about the impacts of such a jump. You mentioned things like FDI and so on. Now, mind you that, we've had a steady increase in FDI, the foreign direct investment, coming in over the last few years anyway, just on the basis of the reforms themselves, right? Now that the World Bank has sort of put a little bit of a check mark next to that and said, okay, yeah, we're happy with the reforms. We as economists believe that what India is doing is good. How do you see the impact of this report affecting, of course, things like FDI and investor confidence, but even other...
The report ranking was at 100 or whatever ranking it may be. World over, we are one of the bright spots. India has been one of the bright spots for a long time. Even for the coming few decades, it is going to be one of the bright spots. With a large young population who is going to have a lot of disposable income in their hands. So you will see this ranking is going to be like icing on the cake. There have been a lot of reforms that have been done. For example, FIPB, that Foreign Investment Promotion Board, that sort of thing was removed. And it is being done at an individual ministerial level. Online, you can track. And the Prime Minister himself is regularly tracking high-value projects where they're being stuck every month or through the Pragati, and his meetings with the chief secretaries, the departmental secretaries and all. So to clear the bottlenecks for projects and all. So everything is basically set. And once this GST impact, once we settled on, you will see that the economy is ready for takeoff. And foreign investors or companies who would like to come in, they would like to be in India to take it forward. I mean, to take part in this economic growth. So I think ranking, we can say that it is like an icing on the cake. It also shows our bureaucracy that you do a systematic approach towards reforming the business processes of the government, the rankings automatically improve.
Do you feel like this, at the end of the day, companies will look at the reform directly? The ranking, as you mentioned, is an icing. How do you feel this, if at all, impacts, say, the startup market, which is getting a lot of focus, from the government today already, wherein a lot of the items within the report as well do address that, things like acquiring property, as you mentioned, we talked about enforcing contracts, because these are the kind of, trouble startups have compared to the bigger ones, the bigger companies.
It is just not only those two. Then you have your company formation, you have your IP protection. If you have seen, there is a new one. Many people, I think, that is not even covered in these rankings. The government has put in the budget some amount of money to be given to SIDBI, which will form joint ventures with the private VC firms and that actually fund startups to something like a fund of fund. And Deepam has recently been launched. And there's an entire Startup India policy that is a matter of faith. Government is saying that because startups can be innovative, they can provide more jobs. There is a separate policy altogether for them. But as you said, the closing of a company, enforcing contracts, and start setting up of a firm, those things will definitely matter for even in
you raised this in your piece as well, and I just wanted to quickly talk about it, which is the government's own ease of doing business rankings that it's doing for the different states, right? The most current rating, which is the rating as of, I think, 1st November, Delhi is ranked 20. And while we don't have a direct ranking for Mumbai, we have Maharashtra ranking, which is ranked 5. I find that interesting because the two cities that form the benchmark for India's ranking overall are not exactly our first and second in terms of internal rankings.
That is fine. Even as per World Bank rankings also, if you see overall, among 16 cities that have been surveyed, you will find, if I'm not mistaken, it was Ludhiana which was ranked 1, okay, overall. On the rankings on state, we should not look at a particular date because we should wait for the report to be published. This is because the state governments start uploading their the reforms that they have been carried out, how it needs to be. So it is based on as of that day ranking. So So we should wait for the last day of submission of all things, and then when the government comes out with report, we should wait and look for it. But what the most important point folks need to understand is, earlier days we never used to have this sort of transparent mechanism, or there's a competition among states to see where they are benchmarked or where they are ranked against. So it has been a systematic way the government and Ministry of Commerce under Nirmala Sitharamanji, at that point TIPP, they have gone ahead and what they have done basically come out with, they have created workshops, they have come out with every year they are ranking the states, what states need to be informed to reform. And to today report, if I'm not mistaken, they are trying a twinning concept where the best performing states are being twinned with a state which has lower on the reform ranking. Like, for example, I think Andhra Pradesh is going to be twinned with Kerala, Telangana with Tripura, so that the best practices can be shared and lessons learned can be transferred to them. So that end of that day, the entire country, we follow same best practices. So that it is just not only for the ranking, but it has been a systematic approach to improve the business condition in each state. And one big change would also be taxation. So with most of the indirect taxes on most of the products coming as part of GST, that sort of a thing now creates almost a level playing field across all states. Now each state is going to compete on the best way to provide a single window permissions, policies to improve business, to get more business into their particular state, thereby providing jobs and improving that. So it is going to be an interesting fight among the states, and everyone would love to win. Let's see.
Yeah, this is what the government keeps talking about, the competitiveness or improving the competitiveness between states. I think a lot of times people don't fully comprehend the complexity that is our governance. Even things as simple as what falls under state, what falls under center, what's concurrent and how they work together. And that's not even factoring in the politics of everything, right? Like, that's another matter entirely. So even as we were talking about, for example, the registration of properties, and they notified, for example, the RERA Act, which is the real estate reform earlier this year. Also, despite the fact that the center did their bit in forming the policy and deciding all this stuff, again, it requires the states themselves to notify it, because again, this is an item that falls under state government. And it didn't happen right away, right? It took quite some time before states started getting on board with setting up the RERA boards in the individual states, who would handle all this registration and things like that. So again, that's the reason why some of these things take so much longer between, an act getting passed somewhere and its actual implementation, because not everything is handled by the center. And this makes things a little bit more complicated, which is why I think the competitiveness between the states, as you mentioned, when it becomes a level playing field. So now I can't just charge 1% lower tax and think all the business is coming to me, right? I actually have to provide services and infrastructure and land and whatever else, power and all these things. I have to get all of that stuff done, because that's what's going to attract a business to my state, right? And I think that's important. Okay, finally, the government also announced it, and everybody believes it, that India is expected to hit top 50 in the next 3 years, somewhere around 2020. Do you feel this is extremely realistic, or it's extremely ambitious?
Once you have a goal or a target, we would ensure that steps are taken to achieve it. Whether we will be at 45 in 2020 or 40 in 20, or we would be at 55. As long as we are on track to improve our doing business ranking in 190 countries, I mean, we have a target. The Prime Minister himself has, from the top, if the target has been set, I mean, we would work towards the target. If there is no target, then we don't work. It's like we will be going anywhere. Like, if you have seen what was the ranking, I mean, from 2007, 2008, all these rankings were always coming, but we were always 130, 131, 132, 142 also we went in 2014. If we don't have a target, a clear-cut target, like how we have, like as of today, 50 should be in the top 50 by 2020. There is no way we can achieve that, right? Without having a target, we can't achieve. So the first thing was define a target, and then how to achieve the target, and then an action plan. And it is just not only achieving the rank. Right? There is a lot of changes that have to be done by bringing in new laws, changing business processes. It takes time, but that is the beauty of it. Have a target and then aim for it, reach it. If you are in the top 50, I'm extremely happy. Even if you are at 55, I will still be happy.
I'm asking this question to you, but I want to be clear. I think the government's done something very interesting, which changed earlier this year, which is where, you know, we moved away from these 5-year plans and now we have these 3-year action plans and, you know, longer term 15-20 year vision plan. One of the items in this action plan isn't let's become the top 50, right? But the items in the action agenda are, hey, let's get our enforcing contract strategy in place. Let's get our registration of property easier. Let's reach single window clearance in every possible state. Let's get the competitiveness of the states. Let's get GST. These are the kind of action items based on international best practices and what works for our economy that we set. Consequence of it, as we mentioned, becomes the icing on the cake, which is as a result of this, our ranking will go up, right? But the idea, of course, is that we do these actions because they're better for economy, not just, you know, purely as a ranking.
And also it is not being done only at Mumbai and or at Delhi level. Every state is actually part and parcel of this entire process. So by 2020, if we are at 50, that means there would have been a lot of changes that would have happened even at the state level.
Any final points you wanted to add, something we didn't go over or something like that?
It's like we should see that 100 is just a starting point. If you look at 142, which was in 2015 ranking, and 2018, we are at 100, and we would like by 2020, we want to be at 50. We are at almost at a midway mark, so we still have half the distance to cover. And I hope folks vote Mr. Modi back to power in 19, so that we all would be happy to see that more steps are taken.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Vijay, for getting on with us and talking to us about the report. I will link to the piece that you wrote, but if you can also share your Twitter handle where people can follow you.
Yeah, it is Center of Right.
So I will link to that as well. Once again, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chirag. Nice talking to you. Good day.